Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Roeder on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Roeder, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. We're taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We just heard from Titans offensive coordinator Todd Downing and defensive coordinator Shane Bowen as well addressing the media. Obviously, the comments on Dylan Raidens generating a lot of attention. So Downing essentially saying after he was asked by, I believe, Terry McCormick, you know, is Dylan Raidens a guard or a tackle? How do you kind of view him? And he gave the, I don't want to pigeonhole Dylan Raidens into a specific spot on the line response. And then he was pushed by Kaharski about that, about in terms of why is it so bad? Essentially what he said, why is it so bad to just say he's going to be a right tackle? So what do you make of the way the Titans continue to handle this with Dylan Raidens? And what does it tell you about where he is at this point in terms of Raidens and his ability to be ready to be a starter this year for the Titans?
You know, I said it earlier, I can see from the coaching perspective, you know, these guys work out in the offseason and everything like that, but when, how often do they actually get to see these guys play football and actually – try to execute things at various positions, you know? I mean, this is an opportunity for that. So I can see the argument on the coaching side of, well, when are we supposed to figure this out? We're just supposed to say, yep, you are 100% a right tackle, go. From the start of OTAs, and that's that, and we're going to be rigid about it, and that's all there is to it. This is the time to get different looks, make sure. I mean, Jamarco Jones is new, so with him – I think it's more understandable why, because Jamarco Jones has played all over the line, why you want to look at him yourself in your scheme at different spots. And if you're going to look at a guy like that, well, that if you're going to move one guy around, then you kind of have to move other guys around at different points if they're both playing with the ones. So I think there's a lot of argument for this not to be a freak-out situation, kind of like with Treylon Burks. But I still also think You'd rather just have Dylan Raidens like, yep, I'm taking that spot and get all the reps, or if not all the reps, get all his reps at right tackle and, you know, go at it with Nicholas Petitfrere and go from there. And the fact that he's still – it's just too – you know, you're talking about different positions, different side of the line. If you're still working at both of those, what does that mean? Does that mean that you're just not very good at either of them?
Man, that's kind of the way I read it. Now, I could be wrong, but that's kind of the way that I read it. If you can't nail down one of them, are you really any good at either one of them? That's, you know, and Paul was talking about, you know, Ben Jones and Taylor Lewan and Nate Davis. And I do agree with Downing that there's a difference there. Like, those guys have played in the league. They've started games in the league. So it's not the same thing. I understand that. But, like, if you're the Titans and you've drafted him to be the right tackle, but even take that part of it out of it, you've been around him now for a year. Like, you should have a pretty good idea of what position he either can or can't play at the NFL level, I would think. And if it's true that they just really don't know yet at this point, to me, that's probably not good for Dylan Raidens.
Yeah, well, and then it goes along with drafting. They didn't draft an interior offensive lineman. They drafted a tackle. So if they drafted a tackle, that to me means someone in there maybe has a vision that Petitfrere is going to be the right tackle answer. And that Raidens maybe can be left guard.
Maybe.
I mean, you know, look, it was a – I think we learned a lot about this with him last year. He was not good in camp. He was torched a lot in camp. He was not good at tackle.
Who's that Ola Adeniyi out there just ripping past Dylan Raidens?
Some guy named Ola Adeniyi. what is going on? Yeah. He ended up being a pretty good player. But still, I mean, Raidens wasn't good. So it was already a disappointing rookie year. It wasn't, and I've argued this with other people, it wasn't like an absolute condemnation of the rest of his career. You can get better. Sometimes people have rough rookie seasons and then figure it out. But it was already trending in a not great way. And I mean, camp is going to tell the story because they're actually going to be playing football. They're going to have, you know, pads and contact and run game and all that stuff. And then the reps in camp are really going to tell you what, because now you're getting ready for the season.
Yep.
So right now is the time to move people around. But, yeah, you'd rather see Dylan Radins just be at one spot and leave it at that. And even if it's just it's left guard, okay, well, then that's what they see him as. They didn't draft him as that. But if they can get a productive, useful left guard out of the whole situation, okay. You have to churn at every position, certainly the offensive line, quite regularly. So that would be fine, too. If he's bouncing around, I start to wonder if it's going to be right there for Petit Frere to be the right tackle, which, hey, if he's good, okay, then fine. And maybe like, you know, Brewer versus Jones. I don't know. Brewer, Jones, Radins. I mean, Radins may just be a backup, but just, you know, it's a second-round pick. Eventually, those things are going to
– And Jones being Jamarco Jones, by the way, not Ben Jones.
Yeah, sorry.
He's going to be center.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry. In fact, somebody did actually suggest, like, maybe Ben Jones should move to guard. I'm like, no, nah, I think they got him. I think they're good at center there. Yeah, Jamarco Jones. So, I don't know. I do know that it's okay for Dylan Radins still to tweet jokes if he wants.
Let's go to the text line.
Work hard.
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Thomas, who says he's on a car phone on the text line, says, in the great words of Dennis Green, he is who we think he is. Probably just another draft bust. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. We appreciate you, Thomas.
I hope you're parked, Thomas.
Nice car phone reference. Well done.
Just don't be driving, Thomas. Wes in Clarksville, yep, Radins had a good game against the Niners, and that's true. I mean, he did. I mean, you know, Pro Football Focus can say he had a 38.9 or whatever. I mean, he looked comfortable at times. He was left on an island with Bosa a couple times. He looked like a guy who had a chance to play offensive tackle in the NFL.
He did a good job. Now, I think some people have gone overboard with how good of a job he did in that game.
I think you're probably right, but, I mean, that game versus everything else from his rookie season, I mean, that's – it's what you've got, you know. It's all you got to go on. It was a bad situation, and frankly, as that game was about to kick off, I was like, well, how ugly is this going to be?
Yeah. Well, and it looked pretty quickly early that it could be pretty ugly.
Yeah, and so given you're talking prime time, huge pressure. That was a huge win for the Titans. At times, he was put in bad spots. Of course, they helped him a lot, but like at times, he was put in bad spots, and I thought he did pretty well. Like, to me, it was still – a promising piece of evidence for a player who otherwise in his rookie year, there was nothing to go on that gave you confidence. If it wasn't for that, which I think you're right, has been overstated, but if it wasn't for that, I think we'd have no clue. We would just assume that Dylan Radins is just going to end up being a huge whiff in the second round. And he may yet be that, but that at least gives you some glimpse of a guy being able to suit up and play against pro football players.
It does. And, you know, it was interesting heading into the pre-draft process because we thought, okay, if the Titans select an offensive lineman early, maybe that tells you what they're thinking about Dylan Radins. Now, they didn't select one early. You know, they had the Treylon Burks pick, and then you went corner with your second pick. I mean, there were different things that they did. Now, Petit Frere comes in as a tackle. So I remember thinking at the time, well, they just drafted a tackle in the third round. Does that tell you what they think about Dylan Radins? Maybe they view him more as a guard. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Coupling the two things together, I don't know what the Nicholas Petit Frere pick tells me about how they view Dylan Radins.
Right. It's just low enough so that it's not, you know, it's not obviously like they're like, okay, this is yet another do-over. Isaiah Wilson, Dylan Radins is the do-over, and now Nicholas Petit Frere is the do-over for Dylan Radins. But it may be.
Could be.
And, hey, if they get a starter out of a third-round pick, they keep going down a round each year until
just
they –
finding them.
So, in 2026, it'll be a seventh-round pick. We'll finally solve the right tackle problem for the Titans. But, yeah, look, the fact that they drafted that position, not an interior offensive lineman, which I thought they might draft an interior offensive lineman in the first round, had things gone way differently in a lot of ways. But
yes.
Maybe it does tell us that they just don't view Radins as a starting tackle in the NFL. But they're not going to pigeonhole him.
Yeah, they're not going to. Although at some point, they'll probably have to.
I mean, I guess.
Maybe he's the new Dennis Kelly. He just rotates.
You
can play left tackle, that's fine.
If he's a backup at any position, I guess he's not pigeonholed.
It's true.
But that's tough, man.
It's tough for a second-round pick.
That's tough for a second-round pick a year later.
We are your racing station, ESPN 102.5 the Game, and 106.3 is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1:30 for the Illinois 300 at the Worldwide Technology Raceway. Also join Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock for Chasing Checkers as he talks to the drivers and gets you set for the race weekend as well. NASCAR on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 the Game, presented by Nashville Super Speedway and the Nashville Fairground Speedway as well. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Also, what did we make of Todd Downing's comments on Treylon Burks? That's coming up on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Got some tickets to give away to see both the Rackley Roofing 200 NASCAR Camping World Truck Series race coming up on June 24th and the Tennessee Lottery 250 NASCAR Xfinity Series race coming up on June 25th at the Nashville Super Speedway. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to the Rackley Roofing 200 coming up on June 24th and the Tennessee Lottery 250 coming up on June 25th as well at Nashville Super Speedway. 615-737-1025. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, Todd Downing and Shane Bowen just addressing the media just about 30 minutes or so ago, and some interesting comments. We've talked about the Dylan Raidens angle. Todd Downing also asked about Treylon Burks and kind of what the process has been like trying to get him up to speed, and not much detail there given by Treylon, by Todd Downing. Basically, he's talked about, you know, him learning the vernacular that they have and, you know, getting comfortable on a day-by-day basis with what they're asking him to do and understanding the offense. You know, didn't really comment much in terms of his availability, but did say, you know, he kind of looks at Vrabel and the trainers and whatever he's doing that day. Says, quote, "We'll dive into every moment we can with him," talking about Treylon Burks and his availability at OTAs. What did you make of Todd Downing's response there to Treylon Burks, who we talked about earlier in the show? There's been the on-the-field issues here with him, not being able to really get through a practice when the media has been present, and then the report from Albert Breer from SI.com talking about maybe some pre-draft workouts that did not go well for Treylon Burks, and that some teams thought that could be a red flag for him. What did you think of Todd Downing's response to that part of it? Uh-oh, I think Joe has been muted.
I've been muted by someone else.
Joe's been muted, and Michelle is on the phone.
Talk.
There we go.
Hey, all right. Michelle is just muzzling me on this show.
Sometimes I wish she'd do that more often.
Yeah. This is conspiracy.
It was a joke, sorry.
Conspiracy. Yeah, I just thought it was a non-answer, basically.
Sorry, Joe.
It's okay.
She's not sorry.
It's all right. It's fine. Yeah, you know, each day gets more comfortable. I mean, it's, you know, if you're a coach, what are you gonna do at this point? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna do?
I don't know.
Just hope the guy can be out there and be available for you, because if you're Todd Downing, man, do you need Treylon Burks this year?
You do.
So, but I mean, I would never have expected Todd Downing to shed much light on anything with that either way. And he didn't.
He did not. I mean, it was it's an interesting – and we talked about this yesterday. It's such an interesting spot for him to be in this year, because you've just lost A.J. Brown. They've hired Tim Kelly, which, you know, that's kind of how the press conference with Todd Downing started in terms of what that role looks like. And Todd Downing was very complimentary of Tim Kelly, as I expected that he would be in that setting, and talked about – you know, the more great football minds you could have in there, the better off it's going to be. And he was in a similar role in his time with Minnesota, all these things. So, you know, Todd Downing said all the right things about Tim Kelly. But he is in an interesting spot with an offense that just lost probably its second-best weapon in A.J. Brown behind Derrick Henry. And now you've got a rookie coming in that you're hoping can replace that production. You've got a wide receiver that's been a good wide receiver that you traded for that's coming off an ACL injury, and an offensive line with a ton of question marks now that Roger Saffold is gone as well. So this is
– at least you have a Pro Bowl quarterback.
You do have a Pro Bowl quarterback.
In charge of all of it.
There is that. This is a very, very interesting spot and season for Todd Downing coming up.
Yeah, and I thought, I mean, I'd give him credit for sort of taking some ownership of the early game issues they had last year. You know, get some stuff to figure out. And, yeah, like you said, he said all the right things about Tim Kelly. It's such a different situation with Todd Downing in terms of expectations. It's just it's, man, did you just get handed? I mean, just, you know, it's like you're like the kid on the block that got the brand new, you know, everybody has an Atari and you got the ColecoVision, you know, or even in television. No one gets these references. Someone out there gets my references.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Those are like the next step of graphics, and like you got the sweet new toy, okay? And now it's like you've got like a broken down Odyssey. I hope someone gets that reference too. You've got, you know, the expectations are totally different, and it just doesn't look like it's questions galore. Last year it was just the only questions were like, how the heck are these? What is this? Let's talk to the D coordinators out there. What are you going to do against this offense? How could you possibly handle it? I mean, I'm trying to think. Like, I guess there was still the offensive line question to some extent, but it was one position. And you knew that Questenberry had filled in the year before. Actually, I mean, at this time last year, I think we probably thought Kendall Lamb would be more of a factor, right? Like, the Titans need Jamarco Jones to be a better pickup.
I forgot about Kendall Lamb.
Yeah. I mean, that was going to be like, oh, Kendall Lamb, oh, maybe he's the new right tackle. And there's been a whole bunch of names going through the old right. I mean, it's like the drummer for Spinal Tap here, you know, the right tackle for the Titans.
Meanwhile, Dennis Kelly's back in the division, baby, over there with the Colts.
Which is still like it really is like his brother is now here. Wouldn't it be perfect? Did they fight as brothers? Did that make it a non-starter? Tim and Dennis fighting? You know, I don't know.
Look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like Dennis Kelly is like the greatest right tackle of all time, but I thought he was pretty good with the Titans in the role they asked him to play.
I mean,
he was pretty good last year for the Packers too.
He was fine.
Yeah,
he's been fine or better than that for many years in the league now. I can't imagine. Anyone wouldn't want that guy in their locker room. Dennis Kelly, I would say, was universally liked in that locker room. And yeah, like you said, maybe he isn't good enough now to be your starting right tackle, but at least you feel like, okay, you got a pretty good swing tackle there.
If you have to put him in, feel okay about it.
I mean, like Jamarco Jones better be good and matter this year, because otherwise, it's like misuse of funds to pay him rather than Dennis Kelly. I don't understand just moving on from Dennis Kelly.
Well, and last year it makes it like, because you moved on from Dennis Kelly. You didn't save all that much money moving on from Dennis Kelly, and then you went and spent some money on Kendall Lamb. And you're like, oh, well, how'd that work out for you? Not so well. So that's a decision that they could probably take back if they would. But he's right there for him this offseason if they wanted him, and instead he's in Indianapolis. Again, like Dennis Kelly, I'm not sitting here and acting like Dennis Kelly is the difference between the Titans winning the division and not winning the division, but I've never understood them letting him go the way that they did.
Yeah, like I don't think the Colts are going to win a game, and then it's going to be like, oh, my God, Dennis Kelly just dominated
Mauling
the Titans.
People.
Just driving, you know, Bud Dupree into the ground, Harold Landry. But he's a solid football player making $1 million. Making $1 million this year, you know. Meanwhile, what did they pay Jamarco Jones? You remember off the top of your head?
I don't.
I'm going to get that exact number, because that to me is my comparison point, is who helps which team more? Jamarco Jones. Now, granted, with Jamarco Jones, what you do have is you do have the versatility.
Yep.
And look, he may be the starting – well, shoot, he could be the starting anything. I don't know. He could be the starting left guard, could be the starting right tackle. But, I mean, he's making a cool 1.8 cap hit this year. So, and guaranteed salary of 1.3. So, almost double. They're paying almost double. Again, versatility, I get it. But – it's possible they could end up with, like, no one they feel good about at right tackle.
Yeah. It's very possible. I mean, you know, Nicholas Petit-Frere, I think physically there are some tools there that you like. He's a rookie. I mean, he's a rookie third-round draft pick. There's a very good chance, I think, that he's probably not ready to start to begin this season. So, I mean, there's a scenario out there where you could roll into that game against the Giants. And, I mean, you'll have a plan, obviously, but may not feel very good about the plan if you're the Titans at offensive line rolling in that game against the Giants. And, oh, by the way, you've got the Bills coming up in week two with that front that they've assembled with Von Miller now in there now. This could get pretty interesting for this Titans offensive line.
Yeah, it's, you know, you do have competition. And certainly, I mean, rookies, well, I mean, they have had some success drafting. They drafted Jack Conklin, and he started week one, and he was really good right away. It happens. He was also the number 8 overall pick. Petit Frere is a much less complete player coming out of Ohio State than Conklin was coming out of Michigan State 6 years ago. And thank you, Grigsby, on the text line. He has an Odyssey still in his box in the attic. Hashtag old. If you think Atari 2600 graphics are bad, go check out some Odyssey graphics. Jeez. There you go.
I've seen one of these before. I've never experienced it for myself, but I've seen one of these.
Yeah, it was like pre-Atari.
Hey, Tech.
But Coleco, man, like the Donkey Kong on Coleco, big time.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More reaction to Shane Bowen and Todd Downing coming up next. We've got an announcement from our fearless leader as well on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik, now joined by our fearless leader, the program director of this fine program and this station, Chase McCabe. How we doing?
Good, boys. How are y'all?
We're doing
hello,
great.
Hello to the viewing audience. And girls. Sorry. Girls behind the glass doing a great job. Michelle keeps y'all in line, so I know how that works.
It's a very tough job.
Thanks for having me on. I will not take much of your time, but I wanted to, you know, I've been teasing. We have a lot of announcements coming up.
We do.
Including 5 o'clock today. You will not want to miss that. It is going to be a big one and a very exciting one. But this one is just as exciting, too, because I'm excited as my first year as program director to be a part of something that we started last year, and that is 615 Day on June 15th. We, along with our sister stations, our sister station 1029 The Buzz and the Nashville Predators, we're going to host 615 Day at Fordyce Center in Antioch on Wednesday, June 15th. And once again, we're going to be benefiting the Boys and Girls Club of Middle Tennessee. This is something that we did last year. It was awesome. It helped a lot of kids at the Boys and Girls Club, which is such a cool cool charity and cool place. And we're going to make it bigger and better this year with inviting a lot of different entities out there. You'll see a lot of the teams in Nashville that'll be a part of it, not just the Preds, but fun for the whole family, paying tribute to Nashville's annual 615 Day, which pairs, of course, the area code and the Music City together, which is going to be awesome. But the auction is live now, so you can bid on silent auction items to benefit the Boys and Girls Club of Middle Tennessee. Just go to thegamenashville.com/615day.
Yep, that was an awesome day last year. We had it at Fordyce Center in Bellevue last year. Lots of great turnout, and it's good to have people from Boys and Clubs, Boys and Girls Club of Middle Tennessee there as well. And really fun day. A lot of people came out last year.
Yeah, it was. And that was also the day that I hit the Pekka goal shot.
It was.
From the crease.
Oh, wow.
All the way down the ice. Ryan Porth, I thought, was going to like break his back jumping up in celebration on the ice because he couldn't believe that I actually did it. But
a fine athletic achievement from Chase McCabe.
That's it. That's my peak.
You're an underrated athlete.
That's my peak. What, am I?
I think so. Yes. We rate you pretty low. So
listen, Chase, you were my 5 on my basketball team when we ranked
that.
Him.
That's right.
I appreciate that. My friends do not agree with any of you. They think that I'm awful, so it's okay.
Well,
they think there's no ability. Y'all are trying to give me ability because I'm the PD, and that's okay.
The bottom line is you made the shot.
Yeah.
I did.
You did
make the shot. And listen, if I'm there in the post, I'm just throwing elbows and getting rebounds.
That's right.
You know, I'll be like Shaq at the free throw line, so it's whatever.
Hack a Chase.
Hack a Chase.
All right, 615 day. Again, thegamenashville.com/615day. So auction is open, and thanks so much for having me, boys and girls.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chase, for joining us. Again, for more details and to bid on silent auction items, visit thegamenashville.com/615day. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. By the way, the cover for Madden 23 has been released, and it's going to be John Madden. It's awesome.
Yep.
Good call.
Very fitting.
Easy call there, but that's a good call.
Great picture, too. Love that picture.
So good stuff on that regard. Anything in particular stand out from Shane Bowen's side of thing? Obviously, we talked about, you know, Bud Dupree's not there at the moment. You know, Caleb Farley, he discussed, and he was very complimentary of the offseason that Caleb Farley has had. Now, we'll wait and see how that translates on the field once training camp rolls around. But was there anything in particular that stood out to what Shane Bowen had to say? I figured his would be a little bit less eventful than Todd Downing's.
Yeah, it was a lot shorter, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Quite a bit shorter. Yeah, that's what happens when you have a, you know, when you have a good side of the ball, but without really any significant additions. Because, you know, last year, Downing was new. Julio was new. Although, again, at this point, Julio still hadn't happened. But it was close to happening. And nothing really stands out. But that's, you know, you mentioned Farley. I mean, that's the equivalent for totally different reasons, but it's the same thing. The high draft pick from a year earlier, who now you need in year two to emerge, which is what Christian Fulton was a year ago, and it worked out pretty well. You know, if they can get the same storyline out of Caleb Farley that they got out of Christian Fulton, who had some injuries as a rookie, nothing this significant, but had some injuries, and then became a pretty darn good player, then this defense could be special. But you know, it's just continued the. Everything's going well. Everything's working out. Again, it's one of those things that we're just going to have to see when it comes to contact and everything where he is.
What do you need to see from him in the preseason for you to feel comfortable about him? And I, first off, if he's the starter, how much do you think he's going to play in the preseason? I mean, I feel like he, more than anybody else, needs to get some reps. So I think he'd play a lot in the preseason. But what do you need to see from him to make you feel comfortable heading into that Giants game?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question for Mike Vrabel, because I think Vrabel definitely errs on the side of you just not getting somebody hurt here in one of these games.
Yep.
But I think you're right that he needs reps. He needs work. You know, it's a real challenge with that because, well, first of all, if he's not absolutely 100%, of course he's not going to play. I mean, you can forget about it. But if he's ready to go, is Vrabel still going to just not risk it in a preseason game, or does he see the value of the reps as more important? I don't know. Based on what we've seen from Vrabel, I could see Caleb Farley still sitting most of the preseason.
I could too.
But I don't know if that's the right way to do it.
Do you think he changes that philosophy at all? We've heard from a lot of Titans fans on that, on the text line. Like, nobody played in the preseason last year for the most part, starters-wise. And then they come out and just got absolutely crushed by Arizona. Like, do you think that changes at all the way that he thinks about this? Or do you just chalk that up as a one-game thing? Because, I mean, I think the thing to keep in mind is they did start the previous year, I think, 5-0, and there was no preseason.
Yeah, that's the thing. If it was every year the same thing like that, like they had a bad opener and it takes them a game to get into things, then you could make the case, okay, maybe you need to adjust things, but yeah. Although they didn't play great at Denver in the opener, but most teams aren't just full bore, you know.
They didn't have a choice for preseason that year either. Like, there just was no preseason.
That's right. So. That's right. In 2020, there was no preseason anyway. I'm trying to remember what they did in the 2019 opener. Why can't I remember that? I remember the 2018 opener, sat in a press box in
Miami. Well, they came out
Miami
for exactly
19
what they
straight
did.
Hours.
They came out and smoked the Cleveland Browns.
Right. They went and destroyed
Marcus
the Browns.
Mariota looked like Peyton Manning.
That's right. They went out and destroyed the Browns. A.J. Brown had a big play. Mariota, you had Cam Wake solving the pass rush issues with a big safety of Baker Mayfield. Yeah, so yeah, there's nothing that's going to – just because last year was off the – I mean, last year a lot of it was just the offensive line in particular wasn't ready, which had a lot to do with a left tackle who – I'm not going to do it – who
did come back in the game at some point.
He did come back in the game, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's great
yes,
stuff.
Yes, he did.
In that game last year. Oh, man. I'm interested to see how that shakes out. Like, I feel like McCreary is probably going to play a lot in the preseason, just my guess. And they may try him outside. They may try him inside. He may get looks at both. I'm interested to see how that goes. I mean, this is, or it's going to be, I think, the most interesting preseason around here in a long time. You've got Malik Willis. You've got, obviously, the Treylon Burks situation. That's another thing. Like, if Treylon Burks is trying to get in shape, like how much is he going to play in the preseason? Now, but right now, your starting receivers, I would assume, are Robert Woods and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, and you're hoping Treylon Burks works his way into that number two spot. But how much is he going to play in the preseason?
It's got to be a lot, right?
I would think.
Yeah, that's another interesting one. That's why you never want to be in a position where you are heavily dependent for a young player to start and be a major piece of your offense or defense, you know, and you're a coach who doesn't like to play people in the preseason. I mean, he's going to have to definitely change on Burks.
You
I mean,
think
so. You know, but last year, Molden, for example, played a ton, was all and Rashad Weaver played a ton, and he got hurt, but those guys were going to be, well, at least in Molden's case, competing to start. So, I mean, you got to risk it at some point, you know? You got to play football and take advantage of the football. But certainly Vrabel is a guy who's been way on the other side. And look, you have a major injury in the preseason. I mean, that's just that is way worse than having rusty players for a couple weeks.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, that's the thing about this sport. I mean, we see it happen, unfortunately, every year. There will be somebody across the league this year. I mean, we saw it with Cam Akers last year. There will be somebody across the league that gets hurt, non-contact injury in training camp, and they're done for the year.
Right,
and
which has nothing to do with playing tackle football.
It has nothing to do with it. Like, every time you walk out on that field, there is a certain level of risk that's associated with it.
Yeah, I mean, how many ACLs are just a weird cut, just running a route and a drill or something? Plenty of them. Or even in a game, but not because someone crashed into your knee with a helmet. It's just you just took a weird – you had a weird plant, you know. So when you think of it that way, I mean, look, there's something to be said for getting guys ready to have full contact too. I mean, I know a lot of coaches would like more contact in practice and things like that because it helps you prepare to play the game the way it's supposed to be played.
Your Nashville Best Deal of the Week is Beach Bend Amusement Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park. You can buy a one-day pass for $35.99 and get one free now at thegamenashville.com/deals. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. What sort of boy band has Michelle brought us back with now?
So I know my little sister likes this song, and they're listening to our show as they drive to South Carolina for a horse tournament.
Boo!
The Rider.
Not boo to you. Good luck in the horse tournament, but boo to this music. Who is this? Who is this?
Isabella.
Band? This is Isabella?
Oh, no, that's my sister's name.
Who is this sister you speak of?
LMNT. Oh, I just cool. only know this song.
LMNT? Sure. Yeah. So it's like element, but then you say the T?
No, it's LMNT.
Gotcha. Could okay.
Sure.
Is it possible that you're supposed to say it element? I don't know.
Or lament.
I have no
idea. Like I lament you playing that song.
I lament ever hearing that song.
Why don't we not?
Lame not.
Yeah, I forgot about the band name. Why don't we? Well, it's a good question.
Yes, why don't we not?
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Gator Tim texting in says, Bud Dupree at OTAs is pretty much like him in games. Non-existent.
Oh,
it's coming
boy.
From Gator Tim on the text line. Is it a big deal that Bud Dupree's not there in your mind at OTAs?
No.
There's probably like not some hesitancy there.
Well, no. I mean, I don't think any of it is a big deal. I think it's less than ideal to have that many defensive starters not there, but like Bud Dupree on his own, no, not really. Dupree, Simmons, some of the more established guys. I mean, you know, I said last week, I haven't done a tally around the league, but a few days later, I've seen quite a few guys who are missing from various OTAs, and most of them are established, high-paid players, and it's a little bit, you know, there are a couple guys. I mean, I would agree, like on Landry, right after the deal. Byard's talking today.
It sounds like he's there.
He missed a day for a random reason, you know. So you expect him. So for the most part, nothing all that surprising. And never would have expected Derrick Henry to come. Don't think he should. He should do whatever he can do to somehow prepare himself for the beating to come. You know, that's like I would almost be more upset if Derrick Henry showed up for OTA. He's like, no, man, go you know. We saw the video of you running up that hill at SMU. Keep doing that.
That's right. I don't know if I agree with Gator Tim's assessment that Bud Dupree was non-existent. Now, look, I will fully admit the box score does not look great. He had 3 sacks last year. And when you're getting paid that much money, you're going to have more than 3 sacks this year. I don't think there's any question about that. But he did get healthier as the year went on last year, and I thought was way more of a factor coming down the stretch than he was at the beginning of the season. So, non-existent. I don't know if I'd go that far. Certainly need more from him this year.
Yeah, I mean, he was a significant factor in the Kansas City game. Actually, he made some really important plays in the win over the Rams. I thought he looked pretty darn good in the playoff game. So, it's not nearly enough, but it's also not surprising. As soon as they signed him, you kind of had to know that the first year, not a throwaway year, but that you probably were going to be getting a player who was gradually coming back to the full player that he was with the Steelers. So that player now needs to show up this year.
Yeah, there's no question about it, and the expectations for that group are going to rise up. I did think Bowen's response earlier was interesting in terms of, like, do you build back up or do you just kind of build on what happened last year with that front four? And he's like, well, guess we'll see when they get here. That's basically what Shane Bowen said. But, I mean, the expectations for that group heading into the season are going to be sky high. Like, they're going to be expected to be, you said it yesterday, a defense that finishes top 10 in the NFL in sacks, and I think most people would be pretty surprised if they don't finish in the top 10 in the NFL in sacks.
Although, if you ask around the NFL, the expectations aren't all that high.
Apparently not.
I mean, they
maybe that's a question that should have been asked of Shane Bowen, is like, do you know who David Long Jr. is? Because nobody else around the NFL apparently seems to think so.
I mean, they've only got one inside linebacker, apparently. So, but, yeah, the expectations around here, the expectations internally, and, look, the reality internally, I mean, the offense is going to work all it can work, and they're going to try to figure out an offensive line, try to get Treylon Burks up to speed. But I think realistically anybody in this team knows that the defense needs to be really good from the start of the season, because it's just not realistic to think the offense is going to come out at a 30-point-a-game clip, and it may not get there at all. I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't. But especially early, you could see where this offense could have some rough Sundays. So the defense probably has to be great, I think, for this team to win the division in general, at large, the whole season. But I think especially in the first month has to be absolutely ready to go, because, I mean, I think about that Monday night game in Buffalo against the maybe number one defense, and maybe number one offense, by the way.
Maybe the greatest team of all time, according to Rex.
Well, I'm not saying that. But they're pretty good. And, you know, that environment with this – kind of offensive line you're trying to figure out, where you got a rookie at right tackle for that game, or, you know, maybe Dylan Radins is your right tackle for that game. But regardless, early on in this season, there's some tough games, and, well, they need to build confidence in the first game too, by the way.
Yes, they do. Wes in Clarksville on the text line says, I'm curious to see how our new tight end looks. Tannehill needs a good tight end. Are we referring to Hooper or are we referring to Chigakonkwo? Because I'm interested to see how both of them look.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I expect a lot more from Hooper than Okonkwo this year. Now, I think Okonkwo is a very promising rookie, and I think they're going to find ways, you know, to get him involved. But, I mean, Austin Hooper comes right in and is your number one tight end. And I think that Tannehill is going to love that. That's the one aspect that probably needs to be mentioned every time we go through all the bad things about the offense. This part got better.
Yeah, they got significantly better. And, you know, it sounds like Todd Downing, you know, took a look at the offense this offseason, and there could be some adjustments as they move forward. We talked about this yesterday. Do you have more two tight end sets this year? I think logically that would make a lot of sense for the Titans to do that. I'm interested to see, number one, how does that affect the way that they use the tight end in the passing game? But number two, how does that affect the way they run the football as well? I mean, we saw it, and it's going to happen again. Teams are going to stack the box. They're going to stack the box against Derrick Henry with two tight end sets on a more frequent basis. I mean, they're not going to do it every time, but on a more frequent basis, how does that help the running game and Derrick Henry coming back this year?
You got two tight end sets, and let's say your two receivers are Robert Woods and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina.
Oh, man.
The blocking.
You thought Corey Davis could block. Look at Nick Westbrook-Ikhina out there.
Well, Corey Davis was very good. But Robert Woods, some people think he's the best blocking receiver in the NFL.
I know.
With Westbrook-Ikhina. I will say, Treylon Burks, I mean, especially if he's like kind of caught physically between being a receiver and a tight end, I guess from that perspective, he could
probably block.
Dig out of safety pretty well, huh? So, see, tight end and blocking at receiver. Two areas to be excited
formula.
About for this offense.
Joe, very quickly, what do you got? The Avs and the Oilers last night in a wild one in Game 1. Avs win 8-6, the final score last night in Game 1 of the Western Conference Final. Eastern Conference Final tonight between Tampa Bay and New York. What do you expect out of this game? What do you expect out of this series coming up in the Eastern Conference Final?
I don't expect 8-6. I think it might be 8-6 after about four games.
Could be.
Combined goals. Yeah, I think it's going to look like a different sport almost. And, look, you said it earlier on the show. It's not like these teams aren't explosive. I mean, you know, they got goal scorers, but you got two of the best goalies in the game.
Probably the two best goalies.
Are they the top two?
They're probably the two best goalies.
Shesterkin was incredible this year. We know what Vasilevsky is. So I'm excited. At the Garden, I'm not convinced that I think a lot of people are just dismissing the Rangers, and I think that's unwise. The way they've battled in both of these last two series, when it looked like very grim for them, I would not discount the Rangers. What are you smiling about?
Tampa in five.
Okay. I say Rangers in seven. Rangers in seven.
Well, you know I'm not picking the Lightning to lose the series until they lose.
Right.
No, so that's
not
that. Happening.
I knew that. But you think they're just going to mop the ice with these guys.
They are.
Vasilevsky's, yeah? When he turns it on, man, they're just so hard to beat.
Okay.
We'll find out.
The Rangers have a special little something going on.
I mean, it has been a mini vacation for Tampa, so we'll see if they remember how to play hockey, step it back on the ice tonight.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It should favor them to have all that rest. They've been banged up, but what's Point's situation here?
Doesn't look like he's going to play tonight.
Yeah, so
we'll see what happens on that front. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. The DDC coming up next. You're listening to ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.